Grace, mercy, and peace be yours from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. And Simon answered, Master, we toiled all night and took nothing, but at your word I will let down the nets. Notice what Peter says there to Jesus in the face of a situation that seems as though Jesus is asking him to do something that is very strange and against all of his experience and what he knows and what seems reasonable. He asks him to let down the nets after he's been fishing all night. Presumably, Peter knows when it is the best time to fish because this is his job. This is what he does for a living. It's how he supports his family. And he's been fishing all night. He's doing what he knows to do, what he knows is best. And now Jesus tells him, sometime during the daylight hours, to take the boat out into the deep and let down his nets. And Peter acknowledges that he hasn't caught anything all night, but still says, but at your word, I will let down the nets. Peter follows Jesus' word, even though it might seem contrary to his own human experience and reason and what he thinks is best. And the way he thinks things should be, he still follows his Lord's word and lets down the nets. And our Lord gives him an astonishing catch of fish. So much so that Peter falls down at Jesus' feet and says, depart from me, for I am a sinful man. He understands that Jesus is God, that he can command, he can speak, and at his word, things happen. Because the God of the universe, the one who spoke all things into existence by his word, is able to accomplish things simply by his speaking. And Peter sees this and recognizes that Jesus is God. But this isn't the only time that Peter follows Jesus' word. In this story, there are two other places as well, where we see that Peter puts Jesus and his word, what Jesus has to say, above what he is doing at the present time. He lets Jesus' word form and shape how he spends his time and his energies. It lets it form and shape how he works. And we see this here earlier in the story. When the crowd is pressing in on Jesus to hear the word of God, Peter is there washing nets. But then when Jesus calls him to take his boat, his business vehicle, and put it out into the water so that Jesus can preach from it, while Peter is there busy working, he hasn't made any money all night, and he has a family to feed. We know that he was married. Jesus already has healed his mother-in-law of a fever. So Peter is married and possibly has children as well. Peter has a family to feed, and he's just lost a whole night. The whole night is gone, and he didn't make any money. He didn't catch any fish. And he's probably tired and exhausted, and he's probably getting ready for the next night. He's washing his nets, getting ready perhaps for the next night, and probably needs a lot of sleep. And he could say to Jesus, when Jesus says, take your boat out into the water so that I can preach from it to the crowds, Peter could say, oh no, Jesus, I'm sorry, you'll have to find somebody else's boat. Because I don't have time for that. I have to make money. I have a job. I have a family to support. Go find somebody else. Not right now. If I don't do this, I don't know how my family's going to eat. But he doesn't do that. He simply puts the boat out into the water. He trusts even then that the same Jesus who could heal his own mother-in-law of a fever, who can perform miracles, is powerful. And he trusts his word. and believes that this will be good. And he puts him out into the water so that Jesus can preach to the crowds. And then after Jesus commands him to put the nets down and he catches all the fish, and the boats, there are so many fish that both boats are sinking. And Peter acknowledges that Jesus is holy and he is not. Then Peter again responds to Jesus' word in faith. This time, when Jesus tells him, "Do not be afraid, from now on you will be catching men," Peter doesn't only say, "Oh, that's nice," and go on with his job and with his work and sell the fish, but instead he leaves everything, including probably all of these fish that are probably worth a lot of money. Peter leaves behind the nets, the boats, the fish, everything that he knows at Jesus' word. At your word. Those are key words here in the text. We see Peter responding to Jesus' word and following what Jesus says. It is so easy for us to think that what we think is best, and to live by our own words and by our own ideas, by our own human reasoning, as Peter could have done at any one of those three times. He could have said at the beginning, "Well, I have my own things to do. I'm going to live by what I've decided to do to make my money, to support my family, and feed myself." Or he could have said, when Jesus said, "Put your nets down into the water," "Jesus, I have to get some sleep. I'm not going to try fishing anymore at this terrible time of the day. I'm going to wait till nighttime. That's better fishing." Nor does he say when Jesus calls him, "No, I'm sorry, Jesus, I have a job to do. I have work. I have to earn money. I can't leave all this behind that I've worked for and earned, and this business partnership that I have. I can't leave all of that behind to follow you. After all, where's your 401k plan? Where's all of the benefits? What's the salary?" Jesus doesn't follow human reason. Or Peter doesn't follow human reason in looking at those things. But he lives by Jesus' word, at your word. And he especially follows it in regard to the use of his time and energy and his work. He lets his work be set aside for the sake of Jesus and his word. And so too, we must live with the same attitude, especially in regards to our work. Work is something that absorbs most of our time every week. Monday through Friday, 9 to 5, perhaps, or some other shift, you work and work to earn money. And a lot of what the world tells you is that life is about what job you're going to do. What are you going to be when you grow up? So that your energies and your focus, as you're growing up and going through school, is directed toward, what am I going to do for a living? And you do that, and you work hard at it. And then your energies may be focused on, well, what am I going to do here so that I can retire, and I can live comfortably, and I can have enough? So we focus on working and working and working with the end goal that we can retire and live comfortably and do what we want. But is this really what Jesus, by his word, calls Peter to do? Is this what he calls us to do with our time and energy and work? Or does he call us to live by his word and at his word? And so that things may change, so that our energies are focused on something else. And notice first, in this first instance, when Peter has to listen to Jesus' word, Jesus calls him to adjust his schedule and what he was planning to do, and to turn his energies toward Jesus and the preaching of Jesus' word so that people can hear the word of God and believe in Jesus and be saved. And then, after Peter has first listened to Jesus' word and Jesus tells him to put down the nets for a catch, Peter listens, even though it is contrary to human reason and experience. And so too, what God says to you in his word may not only be inconvenient for your time, it may not only call you to set aside time and say, make Jesus first, but also it might call you to do things that the world says are unreasonable. It might call you to say, no, I'm not going to take that view of man and woman. I'm not going to take that view of marriage. No, I'm not going to use those pronouns. I am not going to confess something contrary to the word of God. Jesus' word impacts how we live, not only in the four walls of this building, but what Jesus says impacts how you live every minute of every day, including what you do most of the week, including your work, and how you live and function at work. And it isn't just teaching you to be nice. It is teaching you to confess God in his word and to say, I cannot abide by policies. No matter who makes them, no matter who says them, that we should follow them if they are contrary to the word of God. Because I live at Jesus' word. And so what Jesus says in his holy word, the Bible, to me is what impacts how I live and how I speak and how I act and how I function in this world, including how I work. And it also impacts my goals and where I am going. Peter could have said there when Jesus calls him to catch men now and to leave what he'd been doing before, he could have said, well, that's not my goal. That's not where I'm moving. That's not going to help me accomplish my vision for my life. But instead, he goes along with what Jesus says. And we are called with our work not to be set on our own advancement, our own comfort and luxury, but rather our Lord calls us to live in faith toward God and in love toward others. And so instead of the world's vision of why you work, which is for your own pleasure, luxury, comfort, instead of that, or instead of for my own advancement, my own prestige, my own reputation, what Jesus says in his word for you about why you work is to live in faith toward God, hearing his word, and also in love toward others. So, Jesus gives you everything you need. He provides for you. And you can see in the story how Jesus provides abundantly for Peter when he gives him this great catch of fish and shows him that he can provide. He can give him what he needs. And he calls Peter to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you as well. Not to run after the job and the employment and to be worried about, am I going to have enough? But to say, I'm going to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. My time, my energy, my money is given to the advancement of Christ's kingdom. What I need most of all is to have Jesus' word. That is to live in faith toward God. I need to have Jesus and his word. I need to have his forgiveness and his new life. I need that first. I will seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And I will follow it, no matter what the world says about it. And part of that is seeking first the kingdom of his righteousness, then, is to live all of my life and use the abilities and talents that God has given me. Now that I receive his word and his gifts and his forgiveness, and I'm made new in Christ, and I continue to live by his word and sacrament, as I continue to live from that, now I live to serve others. And so when you're working 9 to 5, Monday through Friday, or whatever your shift is, you are living to serve the customers who have the products that you produce. You're living to take care of them. And if you're getting a paycheck for your work, then you're using that to take care of your family, to take care of other people. But the goal is to love others. The goal is to provide for others. And the most important thing that you can provide for them is not actually the material, is not actually these material goods that you're either producing or the material goods that your money is buying. The most important thing that you can provide for someone is to give them the gift of salvation in Jesus Christ. And you give that to them by proclaiming to them what Jesus has done and inviting them to come and receive new life in Jesus, to come and receive His word and hear it. That is the most important way in which you are loving others. And so your work, the work that you do, is directed toward loving others. Now, some of you might say, well, I'm retired. I don't have the same kind of job that I used to have. Well, instead of thinking of retirement as some might tell you to think of it, where it's, well, I now get to do what I want to do. My life is lived for myself, for my own agenda. I get to relax. Instead, think of it as a change in your work. Just as Peter was called from one line of work to another by Jesus. And Jesus could have left him in that line of work, and it could have been a God-pleasing line of work to continue to serve others and to live in faith toward God. But Jesus called him to something else. And at some point in your life, perhaps, the work that you once did, you're not able to do physically, mentally, whatever it is. And you have to do some other kind of work. And so instead, think of what has happened now with the time that you have. Is that God has given you some other work to do. He has given you other people to serve. Don't think of yourself as having lots of free time. You are a slave of righteousness. You belong to the Lord. All of your time belongs to Him. All of your time is now used to live in faith toward God and in love toward others. The time that you have belongs to God. However much time He has for you. And He called you to life by His word. He gave you the life that you have. Everything is a gift from God. That's what Peter had to realize when he let Jesus use the boat and go out into the water. And took him out in the boat. That Peter's time and even the materials that he used to make money were to be used for our Lord and they belonged to him. And then when he was called away from this work to something else, he had to remember again that the time that he had, the energies that he had, the income that he had, whatever it was a gift of God. And now God called him to something else. Everything is a gift from God. And the time that we have belongs to God. The money that we have belongs to God. The material possessions we have belong to God. They are all His. We live at His word and at His command. He is our Lord and Master. He calls the shots. We live by His word. And when we live by that word, there will be times, like Peter did, that we fall down at the feet of Jesus, that we are brought to our knees, as Peter was, and recognize our sinfulness, just as Peter did. But what is Jesus' response? When we see our sinfulness, when Peter saw his sinfulness, when he saw that he falls short of the glory of God, that he had not lived as he ought in his thoughts, words, and deeds. And when we see that we have not lived as we ought with the time that God has given us, that we have lived selfishly, that we have been turned in on ourselves, and have not loved others and served them, and have not lived to advance God's kingdom and to share his word, and have not lived in faith toward him. When we see that, and we are brought to our knees before our Lord, well, our Lord said to Peter, do not be afraid. That was a sort of absolution, a giving of forgiveness. And he gives that same forgiveness to you. Where you came here to Jesus, confessing your sins, and you received Jesus' forgiveness because of his death on the cross. And then you come and receive it again in the Lord's Supper, where Jesus gives you his very body and blood for the forgiveness of your sins, and says, do not be afraid. Do not fear. Do not fear the other things that this world fears. Everything is taken care of. I have you. I have washed you in baptism. I have put my name upon you. You belong to me. And whatever happens, as you follow my word, as you live as my child in this world, as you give yourself in love for others, as you expend yourself for them, whatever happens to you, I am taking care of you. And I give you the forgiveness of your sins and new life. And there's nothing that you have to be afraid of. You can say, everything is taken care of. I don't need to worry, even if I should lose my life. Even if people should mock me because I live at Jesus' word. Even if people should ridicule me and say all kinds of evil about me because of Jesus and because I live by Jesus' word. Even if the people on the shore there that day were making fun of Peter for throwing his nets in the middle of the day, Peter could say, well, I have a Lord and a master, and he calls him master here, who takes care of me. And so too, when Peter went from there and left behind all of the fishing, and people might have mocked him and said, why would you go and follow this preacher who just wanders around teaching? And he can say, but this is the Son of God, who tells me, do not be afraid, who has given me the forgiveness of my sins. And then after Jesus' death and resurrection, and after Jesus, and after Peter preached for years and years and years, and tradition tells us that he was then brought to be executed for his confession of Christ. At that point, when he was about to be nailed to a cross, he could have been afraid and said, I'm not going to do this. I have other things I wanted to do with my life. I wanted to relax, have a cottage on the Sea of Galilee. I didn't want this, but he doesn't. He doesn't deny Jesus at that moment. He is not afraid. He is not afraid to die, and even to say that he's not going to die like his Lord. He wants, in some way perhaps, he believed that he was not worthy of Jesus' death. And so he is crucified, but he's crucified upside down. And Peter was not afraid to go through that pain and suffering for the sake of Jesus. Because he was willing to leave all and follow Jesus. Because he knew that Jesus took care of him, the same Jesus who could produce this amazing catch of fish. At his word, will come again and will raise Peter from the dead. And because of Jesus' word, that same Peter, his soul is with Jesus. And on the last day, that body and soul will be reunited and Peter will live with Christ forever. At Jesus' word. Peter lived at Jesus' word. And yes, he fell. Yes, he sinned. Yes, he did wrong. And that's seen in Scripture. But at Jesus' word, he also received forgiveness. And you too received life and new life from Jesus at his word. And yes, there have been times that you have sinned and you have fallen short of the glory of God. And you come back to Jesus to receive his forgiveness and new life. So that you may hear Jesus say, as he gives you his body and blood, as he gives you his forgiveness, don't be afraid. I'm taking care of you. I love you, I will provide for you, and now I send you out. Maybe not to be a catcher of men like Peter in the same way, but still to live as a Christian in your calling, to live serving and loving others, and to live advancing God's kingdom and calling people to faith in Jesus. And Jesus says, yes, it'll be hard. Yes, it's going to be difficult. Maybe you'll suffer just like Peter did, and just like many others have for the name of Jesus. But don't be afraid. The benefits of living as God's child are far better than any of the benefits of this world or anything that the world can promise. Jesus says, don't be afraid. I have you in my care. Live at my word of life and forgiveness and eternal life. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding guard and keep your hearts and minds through faith in Christ Jesus. to life everlasting. Amen.